Okay, so if you notice when you're coming back in the room, it will not show the songs. And just to make sure everybody's on the same page, I hit F2 to make sure everybody's on the same page. Please do not browse in the room. All right? Okay. So where's my song now? Okay. Redeemed, and then there shall be showers of blessing. Going to be singing, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing."
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshed.
No, I don't think we're doing it right now. Yeah, we're doing it for the repeat. Sorry about that, everybody. Hold on a second here. How do we start that? Okay, so you start?
Like four people are saying that.
That's four.
There shall be
showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops on us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings. Christ is reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Folks, I know, yeah. Three quarters of the song, though, they only heard me singing. My mic was on, so sorry about that, everybody. Was that why you were calling, Mondo? All right, go ahead with the children's story, if you can. All right, good. Go ahead.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Yeah, Nick, I was actually calling to try to help with the beginning of the song. But anyway, today's story is called What a Waste. And this is found in Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13. Okay, let's begin. Jesus stayed in Bethany. A woman came with a little jar of expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' head as he sat at the table. Then Judas was angry. "What a waste," he said. "We could have sold it and given the money to the poor." "Don't trouble her," Jesus said. "She's done a good thing. You will always have the poor people with you. But I won't always be here. She's prepared my body for burial. Listen. The gospel will be preached all over the world. Then what this woman has done will be remembered." Wow, that was kind of short. There's two questions here. Let's go through the questions. It says, the woman poured the perfume on Jesus' feet. What did the disciples want to do with it? Of course, they wanted to sell it and give the money to the poor. Of course, that was Judas's reply. When is this story remembered? And of course, this story was remembered when the gospel reached all over the world. And okay, I guess that was a short thing, but thanks for listening and happy Sabbath.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much for that. Rick from Florida, have you been falling out at all or no? So I think Rick's been pretty stable in here. I don't think Rick's been falling out. So the rest of the people that have been falling in and out, no sound? What do you mean no sound? Can anybody hear me? Now what?
Now they can hear me?
Oh, they can hear me. Okay, somebody else has got it. Okay. All right. I was just wondering if Rick was falling out because he has a very unstable connection and everybody else keeps falling out. So if Rick's not falling out, then it has to be on everybody else's end. Yeah, this is bad. I wonder if it has to do with the lack of a T1, though. I've never seen it this bad. Okay, so if you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us what you do and giving us all the things that we need to survive as well as to glorify you and to do the work that you've called us to do. We pray, Father, that you keep us safe in this time of the end. You bless us with the latter rain so that we can go forth and proclaim your truth to others and to glorify you in mighty ways when you have us move mountains and do whatever else that you would have us do that brings glory unto you. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. Thank you for blessing all those on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and are in need of healing. And we especially lift up Sister Beth, who's having a situation with her throat right now. We pray that your healing hand is upon her. And we thank you, Father, for also blessing us with a more stable internet connection for those people that keep falling in and out. Not sure that what's going on here. It is kind of windy out where I live, so that could be causing a bandwidth problem. I don't know. I really don't know. And so we're praying, Father, that you take complete control over the situation and bless it so that your people, whoever you would want to have hear this message, can be blessed with it. And thank you once again for blessing us with this technology to be able to share around the world with those that need the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. It's really windy. I know, we just had some stuff blow across the lawn. So that could be causing a problem too. So yeah, this could be on my end, some of it, because of the antenna is about a quarter mile, half mile from our house. And it's about 150, 200 feet up. And where we live is already the windiest county in Indiana. That's why they're putting up a wind farm near here with a bunch of, what do they call those things?
Windmills.
Huge windmills. I mean, the blades on these things are immense. And so that could cause problems with the signal that I'm getting. Because if it's wiggling the dish that's sending the signal to my dish that's on my house, and if my dish is wobbling all over the place, then yes, definitely my bandwidth will fluctuate. And if that happens, it's going to knock people out. So I apologize wholeheartedly for that. When the T1 comes, that'll be a thing of the past. So don't worry about it. This is we are recording it on our end. There is no lag on this end. We're recording it straight to the hard drive. So for those of you that are having a hard time and want to hear the message, you can. It'll be on the site by tomorrow morning. Or I usually throw it on by the time Sabbath ends. I get down there right when Sabbath ends, and I usually upload it then. Right, so this has been a rare week, by the way, in regards to emails and calls, literally phone calls from people seeking prayers for healings. I mean, all sorts of stuff has been going on here in the house, too, with some of us that have had physical ailments and that, and Luke included, of course. This sermon came to me directly after we came home from rushing our son to the hospital. Because he had an allergic reaction to something he ate, which he ordinarily wouldn't have had an allergic reaction. And the Lord blessed us with the healing in regards to that the next day, which I'll get into a little bit later if time allows, or if the Lord allows, rather. I don't go by time. In James chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "In the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." I always kind of wondered how that's to be, you know, and because whenever I heard that verse preached when I was younger, they never would go any further. They'd always stop there. They wouldn't read the next verse. And because it always kind of, I mean, there's a magical, this is a thought that comes to my mind when I was younger. I was, is there a magical prayer that gets all my sins forgiven me or something? Or, you know, like if I'm sick and if someone lays hands on me, not only do I get healed, but all my sins are forgiven? I mean, how's that work out? You know, I couldn't get it until I actually opened up the Bible one day and read the next verse. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So there's a stipulation in regards to the healing. Like it says in the Old Testament, those who walk upright, if you continue to walk upright, the Lord will not allow diseases and you know, the situations and problems and poverty and whatnot be upon the child of God. And poverty is not such a bad thing either. I mean, sure, it's nice to have things, but even the poor can be rich in Christ. It does not matter. I mean, that is not what life's about anyway. Some of the people are blessed with poverty so as to find Christ. And vice versa. Some people can be blessed financially, you know, in ways too, so that they can find Christ as well in regards to blessing others that are poor. You know, it's just a beautiful circle in that regard. But the thing here is, one of the stipulations, of course, of getting the faith is to walk with the Lord. Sister White says in Gospel Workers, page 216, she says, to those who desire prayer for their restoration to health, it should be made plain that the violations of God's law, either natural or spiritual, is sin, and that in order for them to receive his blessing, sin must be confessed and forsaken. That's more or less verse 16. That's the part I couldn't get when I was younger. When I was hearing them preach that verse, I'm thinking, oh, great, you know, I'll get sick. All my sins will be forgiven. And so there are stipulations. You can't just go around and ask for a healing and then expect to be healed and then continue on in your sinful lifestyle. There are stipulations. Because if you do, you're going to make God out a liar. Or make him look like he's condoning your sinful lifestyle, because he knows you're not changing your mind. You're continuing on in the path that you had before that got you sick. Gospel Workers, page 213. We go back a few pages. It says the very essence of the gospel is restoration. And the Savior would have his servants bid the sick, the hopeless, and the afflicted take hold upon his strength. God's servants are the channels of his grace, and through them he desires to exercise his healing power. It is their work to present the sick and suffering to the Savior in the arms of faith. They should live so near to him. This is one of the reasons I keep pushing the draw nigh. Draw nigh. James chapter 4. They should live so near to him and so clearly reveal in their lives the working of his truth that he can make them a means of blessing to those in need of bodily as well as spiritual healing. The consecrated ambassador of Christ who, when appealed to by the sick, seeks to fasten their attention upon divine realities, is accomplishing a work that will endure throughout eternity. In other words, he's trying to, like if someone comes to me and asks me to lay hands on them or whatever, of course I won't do it alone. I'll bring my wife or anybody else that would be nearby that's a like-minded believer. Or a multitude of like-minded believers would be even better. Or, of course, the elders of the church would be the main thing, first off. But if it's emergencies and situation, you do what you can do. And you have to be able to fasten their attention upon divine realities. Not assumptions, but realities. There are stipulations to the healing. Going on, Sister White says, with awakened conscience, many a troubled soul, suffering bodily ailments as the result of continued transgression, cries out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Make me thy child. It is then that the minister, strong in faith, should be ready to tell the sufferer that there is hope for the penitent. That in Jesus, everyone who longs for help and acceptance may find deliverance and peace. And like we found earlier, the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. But confess your faults one to another, and pray for one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And of course, that's James chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Continuing, Sister White says, in Gospel Workers still, page 213, I'm on paragraph 3 right now, she says, he who is meekness and love, thus brings the gospel to the afflicted soul so much in need of its message of hope, is a mouthpiece for the one who gave himself for mankind. As he speaks helpful, appropriate words, and as he offers prayer for the one lying on the bed of suffering, Jesus makes the application. God speaks through human lips. That's always been the way he's been doing it. There are special occasions where, the voice of the Father will come from above, or you'll get a word of knowledge or whatever you want to call it, where you have an understanding or discernment that he spoke to you. But 99% of the time, the Lord speaks through human lips. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How then shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So continuing, Sister White says, the heart is reached. Humanity is brought into touch with divinity. The minister should understand by experience that the soothing power of grace of Christ brings health and peace and fullness of joy. You know, the minister, you seek, you know, to have you pray, you know, have him pray for you or lay hands on you, whatever the case may be, and you don't do just sporadic, you know, if you got a cold or some, well, lack of a better word, piddly little problem. You don't constantly, because like, I was reading the other day, and I can't remember exactly where it's at, but Sister White says not to constantly approach the ministers and asking the elders to keep laying hands on you for all these little things. You know, those things are taken care of in due time. Usually, you know, like colds and stuff like that will eventually go away. But it's not just colds. There's other little minor ailments as well, but the minister you seek, in regards to this thing that I was reading from Sister White, where she says that the minister should understand by experience, you know, how the Lord's hand moves, you know, the soothing power of grace in Christ brings. The minister that you seek must have experience so as to be able to share his experience with God. Without the experience, the preacher is unfit to share an experience. His, of course, better action would be, I have no experience in this matter, but I know someone who does, and then direct you accordingly. Okay? Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. In patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Experience brings hope. The reason experience brings hope is because you lived it firsthand. You know it works. You saw his hand move. You saw the prayer answered. You saw the miracle perform. So experience, most assuredly, brings hope. And then, of course, hope maketh not ashamed. Because the reason hope maketh not ashamed is because you know he's going to help. You have experienced this as fact already. That's one of the benefits of looking back. That's why I like to keep a praise list. Because I forget things. We all forget things. And I like keeping track of some of the wonderful things that he has done. And so I write them down. And then, you know, you get dry spells and, you know, you like to just, you know, you got some quiet time, you're sitting around and just go back and, you know, into a praise list that you read or you wrote 10 years ago or 1 week ago. It doesn't matter. And it just brings a smile to your face. Continuing in Sister White, but now we're on page 215 of Gospel Workers. It says, the divine healer is present in the sick room. He hears every word of the prayers offered to him in the simplicity of true faith. His disciples today are to pray for the sick as verily as did the disciples of old. And there will be recoveries. There will be miracles today, people. That's very plain here. For the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. And of course, she's quoting from James 5:15. Going on, it says, in the Word of God, we have instruction relative to special prayer for the recovery of the sick. But the offering of such prayer is a most solemn act, and should not be entered into without careful consideration. In many cases, prayer for the healing of the sick, that which is called faith, is nothing less than presumption. Okay, maybe this was what I was reading the other day, and I didn't realize I put it in here, but what I was talking about earlier in regards to little things, this might be it. This kind of is reminding me of that. But anyway, continuing, it says, many persons bring disease upon themselves by their self-indulgence. They have not lived in accordance with natural law or the principles of strict purity. Others have disregarded the laws of health and their habits of eating and drinking, dressing, or working. Often some form of vice is the cause of feebleness of mind or body. And either way, it's going to cause a problem. Feebleness of mind, you're going to have you're not going to have the strong understanding abilities. And of course, the feebleness of body goes, you know, we know what causes there. Continuing, it says, should these persons gain, now listen to this, because these are the people that don't use the biblical jurisprudence of going in the specific order by which to get the healing. They're seeking the healing, but they're not seeking the change of lifestyle. They're not seeking to confess their sins. They're not seeking the repentance that brought them to the point of sickness. It says, should these persons gain the blessing of health, many of them will continue to pursue the same course of heedless transgression of God's natural and spiritual laws, reasoning that if God heals them in answer to prayer, they are at liberty to continue their unhealthful practices and to indulge perverted appetite without restraint. If God were to work a miracle in restoring these persons to health, he would be encouraging sin. It is labor lost to teach people to look to God as a healer of their infirmities unless they are taught also to lay aside unhelpful practices. In order to receive his blessing in answer to prayer, they must cease to do evil and learn to do well. Their surroundings must be sanitary, their habits of life correct. They must live in harmony with the law of God, both spiritual and both natural and spiritual. I just flip-flopped it, but it's, she says both natural and spiritual. Now, I'm going to share a few experiences, if you will. And please, this is not to toot my horn or any of our horns here at the house or our family, because we pray together as a family, and sometimes we even have outsiders come and pray with us that are of like-minded believers. So no horn is being tooted here. But some of the things I'd like to share in regards to some of the things that we have seen. And there's a reason I'm doing this. Okay? Because you can look back at the experience that you have. And the reason I wanted to do it this way is to explain to some of my loved ones what we have seen as a family. And so when a situation comes down in this family where we need an answer to prayer, why, with the experiences we have, would there be a doubt as to the answer? For example, one of the first miracles that we saw, of course, is Joshua when he was a baby. And he was born with two holes in his heart. And he also kept forgetting to breathe and all this other stuff. He had the cord wrapped around his neck when he was born. I mean, he was having a rough go his first day. And they told us after they kept him, what do they keep him in the hospital for, 10 days or something like that, or a week?
No, he went home with us.
Then who was it that stayed in the hospital? I'm pretty sure Joshua stayed there for a while. Or you had to stay with him. You opted to stay with him. An extra day or two or something like that. But they told us to bring him home and fatten him up. They wanted 6 months. But the baby just, eat as he should, naturally speaking, and be fattened up. And then we should bring him to this one hospital on the northwest side of Chicago. Some ritzy neighborhood thing that we couldn't, it was a drive. And they told us they were going to cut open his chest and heal it, and fix the holes because they had the technology. But it's still a risky surgery, my wife and I just didn't want to have any part of that, And so we prayed and we anointed him with the best knowledge we had at the time. The Lord looked upon our hearts and those of us that prayed. And it was just us two, I think, that we laid hands on him and anointed him the only way we knew how at the time. And when we brought him to the hospital, then 6 months later, they literally accused us of switching children. The doctor said this child has no holes in his heart, because they did the what did they do, like an ultrasound?
Just tampons closed.
Yeah.
The one that was dangerous.
Yeah, the big one was closed. And I just told him, this is, well, we brought him to a better doctor, or a better physician, I said. And he says, who's that? I said, the great physician, Jesus Christ. And we just walked out of there. And then we had Lee's healings. When she was a little girl, she had some problems. And we laid hands on her as well. And we had a situation. I'm not going to get into any details because Lee asks me not to. But she was a little kid. She had a certain problem. And this one day, this problem flared up in a big way, so much so that as me and Nicholas were coming home from work, because he was working with me, I was training him how to take over my job because I was about to go full-time ministry. I was, at least that's what the Lord was leading to. I didn't know at the time. But we're pulling into the driveway, and Jillian comes running out of the house with Lee in her arms, crying. And Lee's not wearing any clothing, so I told her to go back and get a diaper. Because her little problem flared up drastically. It was bad. And we got scared. But all we did is we laid hands on Lee as we were driving to the hospital, me and Nicholas. And we prayed the prayer of faith. And we just trusted the Lord. And by the time we got to the hospital, we were trying to explain to the doctor what happened because it was gone. We couldn't. You know, all we could do is tell him what we saw. But when he went to look, it was gone. It was completely gone. And then we have Courtney. We thought she had the flu. You know, she got sick, like everybody else in the house had the flu. You know, this is how the devil was trying to kill her off. Because everybody else had the flu and Courtney had the flu. And we just figured, okay, she got the flu. But only she held on to it for a few days longer than everybody else, and she just wasn't getting any better. She's getting sicker and sicker, and we just thought, well, we better take her to the hospital because something's up here. We don't know what's going on. It wasn't the flu. Her appendix burst. Moved the mouse. You got to fix that, by the way. All right. Her appendix burst. And the Lord protected her. Because when they did the surgery, not only did it burst, it was already starting to rot. When they opened her up, it was pretty foul. I mean, you know what rotted flesh smells like. We all know. We've been near garbage. You know, you throw, like if you used to be a meat eater, you know what it smells like. It's pretty bad. But the Lord protected her. She wasn't poisoned at all. She had to stay in the hospital a couple of days, and, you know, and they, you know, cleared her up, and she was fine. Look at Jillian, our oldest. When she gave birth to her firstborn child, they gave her an epidural. For those of you that don't know what that is, that's just a needle of some kind of, I don't know, painkiller, right into the spine. I mean, they inject it right into the spine. And then you literally feel like you're dead from the waist down. There's no pain. You can give birth and not have any problems. No pains, right? Still hurts? Yeah, I guess. My wife said it still hurts, so. Not as bad, though, I guess, so. But anyway, so they did that to Jillian. And after the drug wore off, she was in such severe pain that whenever she just moved her head a little bit, she would throw up. The pain was that intense. She says, this is 10 times worse than actually giving birth. You know? It was 10 times worse. And the doctor, I called the doctor or whatever, and he says, well, we want to try an experiment. We want to try to take some of Jillian's blood and fill the hole with her blood, and hopefully that'll close it, and if it doesn't, you know, we'll do this or that or whatever. And it just came out of me before I can even understand. I says, don't touch her. And he goes, sir, you don't understand. She's going to be in excruciating pain for, what was it they said, 3 to 7 weeks or something like that, or before they would bother trying it again. And I says, don't touch my daughter. If you like, I'll come down there and, you know, explain to you our faith in regards to this. We don't want you doing this. Don't especially do any experiments on my daughter. Send her home. Right? And so he hemmed and hawed a little bit. He sent her home anyway. You know, he sent her home. And after about, what, 2 or 3 days, we will not lay hands on people unless they ask. I mean, I'll suggest, would you like us to lay hands on you? And if they don't respond, there's nothing I can do. But if they respond yes, we'll do it. And so we laid hands. Jillian waited 2 or 3 days, I think it was. And she finally called the house. She goes, Dad, please come over and lay hands on me. And I says, okay, we're on our way. She's laying in the bed. newborns in the house. Her husband has to take off work because she can't take care of the baby. She's laying there like stiff as a board. She can't move her head. If she does, she loses her lunch. And so she is in severe pain. And Adam, her husband, is fully aware of this whole situation. He's living with her. It's his wife, okay? And so we anoint her with the olive oil. And we all pray the prayer of faith. And as she's, and as we're praying, she's like drifting off to sleep because she was tired, I guess. And she fell asleep and we left. I don't know, what, an hour later, Fran? Was it? Like an hour? Mm-hmm. About an hour later. Adam calls, hysterical on the phone. And I'm going, what's up? What's up? He goes, slow down. He goes, no. She's healed. She's walking around. She's doing the dishes. She's doing the laundry. Everything's, what did you guys do? And Adam's not a believer. He was not a believer at the time. And now he's starting to understand things. He still hasn't embraced the message, but he has seen the Lord's hand move. It shocked the daylights out of him. He never saw anything like that before in his life. He says, all these doctors are saying, my wife's crippled for 3 to 7 weeks, and because that's what the doctor says, then we're still going to have to bring her back into the hospital and try this experiment anyway. And then my healings. I had the kidneys that were shutting down. I had all that pain, and then the arm problem, and then my throat. Everybody on the line knows about my throat situation for the last 2 or 3 years, and how the Lord directed me to a natural healing in that respect. And it worked. With that said, if I walked up to you, I was explaining this to Lee the other day, if I walked up to you offering to help you in a Christian manner, 11 times, let's say, or 10 times. Let's just say I come up to you, or you call my house or whatever, and you've done it 10 times in a row, you've needed either financial help or food or help with the Bible, scripture, or whatever the case may be. 10 times in a row, you've come to me seeking my help in something, or seeking anybody's help in something, right? What do you think I will do if you called me up the 11th time, or the 12th time, or the well, obviously, you know I'm going to help you, because I've done it 10 times in a row, right? I've just shared 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 healings, okay? And there's a lot more than that in this family. I don't want to get, I would like to share one more, though, before we quit, in regards to Luke. As all of you know, he was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis and immune deficiency. And we've been praying and praying and praying and asking the Lord, what do we do? We do not want to do the AMA situation. We know they'll pump him full of drugs, and he'll feel like he's healed, and instead he's grinding on the joints that shouldn't be grinding on. Just like they do with the football players, my shoulder's killing me, and so they inject him with a bunch of cortisone or something so he can go out there and throw that ball. And when the cortisone wears off, it's 10 times worse because he was just grinding on the body part that was giving him pain to let him know. It says, look, don't grind. The pain's there for a reason. Knock it off. And so we're praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And the other night, Tuesday night, I believe it was, again, the Lord wakes me up. And like usually when I wake up in the middle of the night, I just go into prayer and I just, praise him and just get into it. And within about 15 minutes to a half an hour, I usually drift back off to sleep. If it's a sermon, I'll ask him, and I'll remind him of his promise of John 14:26, and then I'll go back to sleep. So the next day, everything that was revealed the night before in prayer, I will just put pen to paper the next day. He'll remind me. Because we understand John 14:26, I'll bring all things to our remembrance, whatever he has told us. And so that's what I was doing. But 9 times out of 10, that's what happens. I'll be able to get up the next day and remember everything, right? But sometimes I'm not allowed. For some reason, I couldn't get back to sleep. And, hold on. I couldn't get back to sleep. And so I decided just to go downstairs because it was revealed to me in prayer what will heal Luke as well as, any other kind of situations that we got in the house. But I didn't want to just come to Luke or anybody else and say, this is what the Lord has revealed to me, because they're not going to believe me. They might, but I'm not going to take that chance. So what I did is I decided to go online and investigate And so I was given, it was revealed how to have Luke healed. And so I went down and I went on the internet and I started investigating what was revealed. Turns out that his problem and some of the other problems that are going on around here can be healed. I hope you're sitting down. It's this simple. They found that 80%, 82% actually, of all diseases on this planet are a direct result of a lack of water. Regular H2O. Your body's 80% water. Your body heals itself. If you don't believe me, scratch yourself. You'll get a scan. Your body knows how to heal itself. You were created by an almighty and awesome God. He has built your body to be able to take care of its own situation, own problems. And this is one of the reasons that Luke also all of a sudden got allergic the other day, because he didn't have enough water in his body to fight off what he normally would have fought off, you know, an allergic reaction to something, because the body couldn't create the chemicals necessary to fight off the infection or the allergy that was coming his way. And the same thing with the arthritis. Just 2 days ago, we noticed this yesterday, just 2 days ago, now it's 3 days, but it's 3.5 days actually, or 2.5 days. He's already got better color in his face. You got hardly any pain, right? In the arms and the joints and stuff like that, right? The pain's almost totally gone. I mean, there's some there. He can close his hands. Now, I understand the doctor did give him some stuff to shrink the swelling in the hospital and that, but it didn't shrink any swelling because his tongue swelled up in his face and all that stuff. It didn't really work. It wasn't until he started taking 8 10-ounce glasses of water every hour on the hour between noon and 7 p.m. And so that's the 8th blessing that I've seen, that we, you know, that I've shared today. So like I said, if with all this proof that we have, because many of you that are listening to me online have had healings, have had answers to prayers, have seen his hand move. If you have seen it work so many times in the past, why wouldn't it work now for whatever it is you're praying for? You know, it's just like I use the analogy of myself when I was talking to my daughter. I says, look, if you came to me and I had a bowl of food and you had a bowl of food and that's all we had for the day, and you always ate faster than I did, and you came to me and says, Daddy, can I have a little bit more food out of your bowl? And I always gave it to you. You asked me 10 times in a row, and sure enough, the 10th time, I gave it to you again. So you figure, okay, the 11th time you're coming, what do you think I'm going to do? Say no or give it to you? If your father has answered your prayer so many times in the past, why would he not answer them now? If the only way he wouldn't is if you weren't walking uprightly, if you weren't walking as he would have you walk, if you were in sin, that's the only way that he's not going to answer the prayer. Because if he does, then as Sister White said in Gospel Workers 2:15, paragraph 3, he would be encouraging sin. In closing, the life on earth is the beginning of the life in heaven. Education on earth is an initiation into the principles of heaven. The life work here is a training for the life work there. This is from, by the way, this is from Education, page 308. What we now are in character and holy service is the sure foreshadowing of what we shall be. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, it said in Matthew 20, verse 28. Christ's work below is his work above, and our reward for working with him in this world will be the greater power and wider privilege of working with him in the world to come. I pray that you are blessed by the experiences brought forth this day. I don't know. We got showers of blessing. No, we already did that. Is this it? Come not found? Which one are you looking for?
I don't remember which one to put down.
Okay, we'll just do come not found. That's a nice one. Come Thou Fount is what we're going to sing. It's not going to be in the room for a few weeks. Come Thou Fount. You can kneel for your rant. Please do so. You're going to pray. Oh, you found a song? Which one was it? There's a fountain. Oh, fountain. By your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us the way you do in regards to the answers to the prayers and the healings and the miracles and even guiding us to the natural methods that even your son used when he walked this earth in healing lepers or blind men or whatever. We thank you, Father, for keeping us safe throughout this week ahead of us and blessing us with the remainder of the Sabbath day. If we sin this day, Father, and don't realize it, please reveal it to us so that we stop and become that much closer to you and reflect your son more perfectly. Let the latter rain fall upon us so that we can be strong soldiers for you and your son, and let your spirit guide us into all truth so that we can share our experiences and our faith with others so that they too can be blessed and partake in the latter rain. Thank you, Father, for keeping us together as a church family, keeping your son's bride safe, and blessing us with all that we need to glorify you. Thank you for blessing those that help us do this work as well. And all those that are on our prayer list, especially Sister Beth in regards to the throat, reveal to her what is needed at this point in time to grant the healing so that you are glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Perfect size for it.